Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 52 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Well, today we're going to be talking about how we screw it up badly with men because we allow them to treat us badly. But before we hop into that, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by Prevention, and they partnered with Premier Protein to kick off their Spread the Health, Healthy Habits Challenge with 6 monthly blogs and videos to show you how simple it can be to implement real lasting change. You'll love the topics. They include move, nourish, grow, relax, balance. Who doesn't want to do any of those things? Learn more by going to prevention.com/content/spread the health. Hashtag spread the health. All right, now, before I begin, make sure to run on over, please, to iTunes after our episode and rate this podcast and review us. Believe it or not, I actually read these things. Yeah, in my spare time. Okay, all the time I read these things. Love to hear from you out there in her podcast land. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
You know, there are 3 common mistakes women make that allow men to treat them badly, and there's no one better to address this than Dr. Susan Edelman, who is the author of a fabulous new book called Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women. She is an adjunct clinical associate professor at Stanford University in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences and a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice specializing in women's issues. We love that. And we love that she's sitting down and helping women just like you out there. Oh boy. And so she's speaking on all kinds of things, including what we're talking about today. And don't we have a new movie coming up called 50 Shades Darker? Oh, dear God, didn't we not put that thing to death yet? Oh, it's back. It's back. So, Dr. Edelman, Susan, welcome to Her.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Okay, now, Susan, why did you write this book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women? What's that about?
You know, I am so worried about women and all the pressures that we have to face these days. The pressure on women to be sexy and sexual hurts their confidence and their love lives. And unfortunately, all this pressure is kind of hard to recognize because everybody is swayed, and you know, we all underestimate how much what goes on in our culture influences us, and that's why I'm super worried about 50 Shades too, because I think now it's pressuring us into this whole new arena where we're supposed to say yes to sexual violence. I don't think we want to go there.
So what is your own brand of sexy? I mean, how do you begin to describe that when really, you know, as well as I do, we're both women, that we're incredibly, you know, influenced by the media. So we've not only got this movie coming out, which is, you know, I guess, daughter of 50 Shades of Grey. But really, we're just surrounded by this stuff. We've got, you know, 10-year-olds dressing up like they're 20. We've got 50-year-olds who don't know what the heck to do. I mean, how do you do this? How do you begin to approach this?
So that's what my book and Being Your Own Brand of Sexy are about, is figuring out what you want, what works for you as an individual, and what strategies will help you get there no matter what your goals are. Because unless you're really clear about what you want, it's easy to lose focus and think about, oh, you know, that's how it should be. And I don't think how you should be isn't necessarily what's right for any of us, really.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I think a lot of women really look outward to find out what they should be knowing inward, right? And I know that sounds like a bunch of new age hoo-ha, but really at the end of the day, you're staring at magazine covers going, why not me? Right? And then you're looking at models who are now 63, right, who are looking as though they're 40, and you're figuring out, what's wrong with me? What's right with me? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I think it's really tough. And because of that, I think you'd agree that women then make mistakes with men because they're also seeking some outward approval, and they're not sure about who they are and what their own needs are. And so, you know, they make mistakes. And you address three common mistakes women make that allow men to treat them badly. How about we just sort of dive into that? What's the first one?
So the first one is they make excuses for men. So they, if he won't commit, they say, oh, you know, he's had a bad breakup, so I understand that he can't make a commitment. But if you really want to make a commitment, is he really the right guy for you? And you know, this goes for a lot of things. If maybe he shows up late for a date, and do you think, oh, you know, he must have got stuck in traffic, or do you think, what's going on with this guy, right? He seems to be late all the time. I don't like that. So I think you're so right about the cultural pressures, because here we are thinking, do I need breast implants? Do I have a big enough thigh gap? You know, should I have sex, you know, with this guy by the third day, because he might dump me otherwise, instead of thinking, you know, is this guy treating me the way I want to be treated? We've lost that focus. We're now just focused on the, you know, whether we're going to lose him because we don't have sex fast enough, or are we having enough sex?
All right. And I think a lot of this is also, you know, you're a psychiatrist, and someone who's an expert in really looking into women's minds and sussing out what's going on there. You know, a lot of this is also established early on, isn't it? I mean, don't we look at, you know, the role models of our mother and father and other people who've influenced us as we've grown up? So doesn't that complicate this a bit?
Absolutely. So if you've seen your mother always do whatever your father wants, it's a lot harder to think, oh, you know, maybe I can do something different. You don't have a model for that. And also, if you're taught that your feelings don't matter, then it's going to be a whole lot harder for you to think, I deserve better from this guy.
All right. And at the same time,
because that's kind of what we're talking about. Do I deserve better? And is it okay to have my needs be met or discussed even?
You know, do you find in your practice and in your world of work that you do there, that a lot of women kind of settle? They settle on someone because they're just kind of happy someone showed up. And although that person isn't, you know, really the answer to their dreams, they just quickly grab them. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush kind of a thing. Do you find a lot of that settling? Because I've seen that in my practice more than I can count. Women who now regret having made a decision many years ago because they were so fearful of not being able to, you know, snag a guy, get a partner, you know, while so many of their peers have already seemed to move on. What about that settling thing?
I agree. I think that's part of this whole phenomenon of not being able to stand up for what you want and making excuses for men and feeling it like you're scared you'll never meet somebody. And I think we also see it in the relationship, because some relationships, maybe they can change and give you more of what you want. But so many women have trouble standing up to their partner that even if that's possible, they don't necessarily do it, and they don't see a change because they're afraid of conflict or afraid of losing him. So, because, you know, that is a huge part of it. If a guy isn't doing things that you like, or he's doing things that you don't like, are you really doing something to express that you don't like it, and something that has a little more chance of being effective? Because communication is so important. The way you do it also matters. Sometimes women they'll kind of go on and on complaining, but not just be short and sweet and say, this is what I would like to have happen in the future, right? Just to give him.
Yes, exactly.
Men don't handle, most men have trouble hearing, you know, a long explanation of how you feel about things. And sometimes they hear it better if it's kind of short and sweet about what you'd like to see be different.
It sounds to me like, and again, based upon my own experience working with women as well, is that women oftentimes are fear-driven. They live a life that's fear-driven.
Yeah.
And so, you and I both watch them become self-destructive because of that. When you're fear-driven, you know, your stress hormone levels are skyrocketing. There's a lot of emotional overeating, a lot of emotional isolation, and it goes on and on. Lots of forms of self-destruction. There's a lot of numbing going on out there, you know, the statistics with women and alcohol and the rest of it. And so I think that addressing this issue of fear that you brought up so well is incredibly important, because women almost forget that they live in fear. They're so fearful of losing the guy, so fearful of confrontation, as you said so well. So what's the second common mistake women make that allow men to treat them badly? The first one you said, they're making excuses for them, but what's the second one?
Yeah, I think I got ahead of myself. So they don't say no to what they don't want. That's the second one. They have trouble saying no. And it may not be in the word no. It might be, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. Or there may be all kinds of other ways to say it. Like, it'd be nice for you to do this instead. Or sometimes it just involves not answering a telephone. You know, there are these women who the guys call them late at night and maybe want to hook up or come over, and sometimes it's better not to answer the phone even than to say no, right?
Right. You know, there are a lot of ways to say no. And also, I think, and you tell me what your thoughts are on this, because you brought this up in your book as well, you know, women have trouble establishing limits and boundaries. They kind of give themselves away much too easily in terms of everything, not just sex, but in terms of their time and effort in their own lives. They tend to fall off their own radar screens. So, you know, when they don't pick up that phone, they're saying no, but they're also establishing a limit, saying, you know something, it's 2 a.m. This doesn't work for me. Right?
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
So what about that limits and boundary thing?
I think it's great that you're pointing that out. You don't always need words to say no to someone. Your actions can show it. And so I think you're bringing up a great point, because a lot of times women feel like they've got to take care of the other person, or they're afraid if they say no in any way, he's going to be mad, or he's not going to like them anymore, or that's going to be the end of it, and it frightens them. And so then they end up feeling really less confident as time goes on, because they're never taking a stand. Because even if you lose a man because you've stood up for yourself, that might be the right thing for you. Maybe he's just not the right guy for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a very, very important point again. I think that women just learning how to be able to put their foot down and really understand what they need. I don't think enough women, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think enough women, and maybe people in general, but especially women, sit down and really think through what their own needs are, let alone learning how to be able to express them and get them fulfilled. I think what they do is, you know, women especially as caregivers, sort of eternal caregivers, and we'll kind of caregive anything that comes within 100 feet of us. We don't even have to know them. I mean, seriously, it's so bad. So we make a second career out of caregiving to our own detriment. And then we go back to that issue of limits and boundaries to be able to say, no, that really interferes with my ability to go out on my cycle, because I need to get out there and bike. It's good for me, instead of just giving it all away. So I think that just understanding those needs, you know, it's interesting. One of the things I teach my patients is to say, you know, very graciously, you know, gee, no, thank you. That doesn't work for me. Right. So,
yeah.
By saying, you know what I mean? You know where I'm going because you're the expert.
And if they can't do that, then maybe they could just say, you know, let me think about it. I'm not sure. Or maybe.
Yes.
I have to think about it for a while. You know, even that is a stepping stone to I'm not comfortable or that doesn't work.
Excellent. Both of the, that's perfect, absolutely perfect. Because, you know, when you say, I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me, that means you've already pretty much determined in your mind what does work for you. See, to know, if you say no, you know what the yes part is. It's sort of like if I walk up to you, you know, Susan, I tell you to wear a micro mini gold lamé, you know, mini skirt to give your lecture at Stanford. You know what the answer is going to be. You know, gee, thanks, Pam. Ain't going to work for me. That does not work for me because you know what works for you, and that ain't it. Miley Cyrus
right.
All day long, not you. So I think that women understand how to do that in their life with things like that. But when it comes to their own relationships, I think that it gets real fuzzy and gray there. They haven't done that part of the homework enough to be able to understand what are the deal breakers? What are the deal breakers that immediately say, nah, it's not going to work? So what's the third common mistake women make?
The third common mistake is that they aren't always happy when men are nice to them. And, you know, I think part of this has a bit to do with trying to fit into some kind of feminist ideal that, you know, they're not sure what it looks like to be a strong, independent, powerful woman. So they think, well, they've got to be equal. So is it okay to let a man help me? Maybe they feel like it's being helpless or passive, or they don't want to give up their strength. But that's a huge problem because one of the best ways to get what you want from men is to appreciate the nice things they do for you. And if you're not happy, then you may have trouble just reinforcing his good behavior by appreciating him. Because, as you know, most nice men, they just want to make you happy. So it's important to let them know that's working.
Wow. So giving them feedback like that. You know, I just think there's so much confusion out there. As I listen to you, my eyes roll around and say, you know, it's so confusing. So I'm going to throw in one more wrench into this, right? Generational
right.
changes. Okay. If you take a woman who's currently 50 to 55, I'm just going to say that right there. Okay.
Right.
And then if I now flash forward to someone who is 20 to 25, tell me what the difference is with these three common mistakes. Do they even make those mistakes if they're that much younger?
Do they make those mistakes if they're younger?
Yeah. In other words, are they making excuses for guys? Or are these young women, you know, anywhere from like, say, 20 to 35, right? Are they in a very different place in terms of what their parents mentored them with? Because the parents of a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old are pretty different oftentimes than the parents of someone who's 55. So you had different, you know, values, a different culture, perhaps. And so does this complicate it even further?
I think you're right. It probably is different. I mean, the thing that I see as very different from someone more my age to the women who are younger is this whole thing about, you know, how in the old days it used to be more like, well, if you're having sex before marriage, you're a tramp. So there was more of that. And now there's more like, if you're a virgin, you're a prude. So we've kind of forgotten the meaning of liberation, which is the freedom to choose for yourself. So I think that's a big, you know, dating in college isn't like when I was in college where it was kind of low pressure and fun. Now it's like you've got to make a sexual decision right away. Some of these people, these millennials, are having sex before a first date. Like I read some study yesterday that said 30% of them or something. I'm going to research that because that seems high to me. But, you know, I think things have changed a lot. But there are people of all ages who have trouble with these kinds of issues. And it may not all be cultural. Some of it is I think, what you're saying, how you were raised as a person. So maybe someone who is raised not to ever get in touch with their feelings is going to sure have a harder time with any of these areas than somebody who was raised to really stand up for themselves and be in touch with who they are and what they want to. So that may be the biggest thing, despite the generation. Because there are women who get what they want from men, and lots of them.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question about that. And they've gone on to do some pretty cool stuff. And they've worked out, they've sort of defined a relationship with a partner that sort of works for them, you know. And I'm thinking right off the bat of Georgia O'Keeffe. Can you believe that? You know, I visited her home out there at Akakee last year. And was reminded once again, because I'm a total O'Keeffe fanatic, you know, of the very unique relationship she had with Stieglitz, you know, the world famous photographer, and how she just defined that for herself. And she was fine. She was okay. She was a woman way before, you know, an era where you could do things like that. But it and I quote, worked for her. It helped her be productive. And at the same time, in her mind, she had a very high quality relationship with a guy who never once in his lifetime visited her in New Mexico, because he felt that that was her place, which was totally cool with her. Really interesting to think about the possibilities here and the opportunities. And I go back to, you know, the millennials and the folks in their 20s. I don't know what they're called. And that is how they're really redefining the new normal of relationship, what a relationship's really all about. You were talking about your days in college, and I reflect back on my own, and I'll tell you one thing, honey, real different. It's nothing like it is now. I mean, hookups and whatever. I mean, it's just completely, absolutely cool, you know, currently. Yet it was fairly unknown or fairly covert many, many years ago. So I just think that really affects how a woman who, for instance, is 25 defines her own brand of sexy, don't you think?
Yes, I think it's so important for us to take a look at all the messages that we get about being sexy and sexual and figure out what's right for us as people and tune out as best we can all these messages from other people, because what your best friend does just might not be right for you, and that's okay.
So what's the secret to getting what you want with men?
Well, I think the secret is really figuring out what's right for you as a person and having the courage to try and get that. And I think Georgia O'Keeffe is I'm a fan of hers as well, but she was really a big pioneer. And it's not that big a step today for women who want to have more power in their lives to go ahead and say, hey, this is what I want to do, no matter what I'm hearing about what everybody else thinks. I mean, you know, it's not that big a step with women having more power as it was in Georgia O'Keeffe's day to do something like that. Today, it's more about just being aware of yourself and having the courage, and maybe also the mentor, because I think that part of what I would like to see happen is for women to be supporting each other in a new way of looking at this instead of exerting all this cultural pressure to conform. I don't know if you saw Lady Gaga on the Super Bowl.
I sure did.
I mean, was so incredible, and people are body shaming her because she's got some teeny little bit of flab on her stomach. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And these are more likely women that are doing all this body shaming. The men don't seem to have problems with these women who get body shamed. So unless women are going to start supporting each other in just doing what's right for us as individuals, where you're, whether you've got like an ounce of body fat extra or whatever it is, then if we don't stick together, we're not going to be able to change this, because we're the ones perpetuating it and keeping us in this state of low confidence. Did I say almost 60% of women are unhappy with how they look? That's not good for women.
That's exactly right. And that's something I deal with on a daily basis with my own patient, community. Good Lord, they come in with these. I mean, some of them are absolutely ridiculously achieved and accomplished. I mean, I'm talking about people running corporations, and they'll come in and they'll just say, I'm going to die with that extra 10 pounds on board. Oh, God, sit down. We need to talck. Right? What the heck is going on in your mind? Number one, you don't walk around naked all day, so who in the hell cares anyway? Number two, that extra little extra, what I call the Lady Gaga effect, it has absolutely no impact whatsoever on your health and well-being. None. This isn't internal body fat. This isn't, something that's toxic body. For God's sake, right? But women just, they keep reading those magazines. Right. And they keep believing everything around them. And apparently they've never heard of Adobe Photoshop, because that's what's going on. So, I think the point is well taken.
I think in a way, the only way it affects our well-being is the way we let it affect our well-being, because we're giving the media all this power over us by perpetuating that. Because unless we start to feel satisfied with who we are and really, tell the media with what we buy that we don't want sexually violent movies, or we don't want it to look like every woman in a movie is skinny and super fabulous looking or has some unattainable body for the average woman. Unless we start to put our feet down and say, hey, we don't like this. Because, most of the people making these movies are men. They're not necessarily doing it to have role models for women. They're doing it because it sells, and we're the ones buying it.
Yeah, well, I think we're starting to hear a little bit of a backlash there. It's starting to, really begin to surface, with Amy Schumer and all these, comedians and actresses starting to step up and say, wait a minute now. And at the same time, you could also hear their own confusion and their own struggle with so much of this, back and forth. Even Lady Gaga, she has probably that little extra something there in her lower abdomen, right below her little, belly button, because she actually probably, put on 20, 25 pounds at one point, and then she dropped that weight. And she had some of her own feelings and conflict about that, of course, blaming her father and his wonderful restaurant. But, it just goes on and on. I just think that we still live in a land of confusion there, and more women are learning how to step up. And I'm hoping the voices are coming from all generations. Oh, I love this. This has been fantastic. Really having a chance to dive into some of this relationship struggle that women have when they're partnering with men, especially those who they allow to treat them badly. And thank God for your book. We're talking to Dr. Susan Edelman, the author of Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women. Please hop on over to her website. It's Dr. Susan Edelman, all spelled EDELMAN.com, or BeYourOwnBrandOfSexy.com. Learn more about her wonderful work, especially the work she's doing specifically with women and women's issues. Susan, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast. We just loved sharing.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really loved being with you.
Awesome. Well, be careful because I'm going to be asking you to come back because we got a whole lot more to talk about. All right, everyone out there in Her podcast land, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just take, 30 seconds and rate the podcast and leave us a review because I read these things and I love to hear from you. Feedback is king. It rules. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.